What's up, campers? Welcome to another episode of Tales of the Trails, a podcast where three scouts talk about their adventures in the wilderness. Except today, it's not three scouts, it's three dads. And boy, is it going to be an episode for you. As always, before we get started, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Trails Podcast to keep up with our stories and receive updates. Don't forget, we've got a website. It's a pretty dope website, and we're working on a new one. Shout out to Srihari, because I don't know how to use it. trailspodcast.com, as always. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now for the dads.
Yeah, so good evening, everyone. We're going to talk about our camping experience. I guess we, as our sons do on this podcast frequently. So I guess the first thing we're going to talk about is our camping experience. The first, I'm not sure, I don't want to take over. So who wants to go first?
I can go first. Not a problem. Okay. Thank you, Ken. This is Amit, Aditya's dad. I think I've known you guys for almost my whole life now, or since Aditya was a Cub Scout.
I remember I met you and I was the Cub Master. I was the Cub Master.
Yes, and I think the camping experience I'll recount would be our trip down to Block Island. We actually did this as a family. My wife and my daughter joined in as well, and we got a place for them to stay. But it was a beautiful weekend. We went down on a Friday night. It was raining at that time. We set up the camps in wet weather. However, we had a beautiful weekend. Right on Saturday and Sunday, they were nice and sunny, and the whole family enjoyed the bike around the whole island and the activities the day long. So I'll just give a quick intro to it, let others talk in as well. But this was something that I enjoyed very much. And even my wife has been asking me, when can we go back or do more of that? And really that was the experience, just to see all of us be together and be also a part of the scout group and engage in the community there. That was lovely. It was a good time. I've done with Aditya a couple other simpler camp trips. One was in a cabin, another was at the Knobscar Trail. But those were just generic, more simpler ones. Enjoyable still, just because you're somewhat more crammed in. You didn't have a whole island to go around or so, but they were still fun for the day or half a day that we spent there. Let me pause now. I know either of Andrew or Ken could take on more. Maybe we can discuss more of what we found more useful in the camping trips.
I was curious if you really could consider camping a trip that you take your wife and you put her up in a cottage near the campsite or not.
I completely agree. I mean, I think that, yes. So I stayed in the tent, and she had a room set aside for her and my daughter. And my daughter was about, I believe, 5 at that time. And was camping for myself. I guess there was a lot of other work that I had to do just to coordinate between the two of us or the two groups there. Yeah.
I mean, was that before, like, you started with the Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts? Like, where?
No, this was afterwards. This was with the Scouts. This was not
Cub
Scouts. I think with the Cub Scouts, a lot of our trips were, there were no real overnight camps. I think the only one we did was as the Weeblos.
Weeblo overnight are correct. Yeah, we just had we had the overnights, but they weren't really camping. They would go, like, to Battleship Cove. We'd go to, like, Snores and Roars. We'd go to the different trips.
And there was the Fox, I remember. Yeah, they were just different day trips.
We'd sleep overnight, but we'd sleep in in the museum floor or something. Yeah,
that's true. We did the Boston Science Museum once.
We did the Science Museum. We did the Worcester Zoo. We did the Rhode Island Zoo. We did a bunch of, but it's like they weren't really, it's not really camping because you're camping in a building.
Right, you're on a hard carpet floor.
Hard carpet floor, yeah.
Yeah, the best ones were the Museum of Science, and you have all these, you know, 78-year-old boys, and you're in the body parts, you know, portion of the museum, and they're all waking up in the middle of the night scared. Oh. Good times. Or
I can never sleep at any of those trips. Like, might as well not even try. Like, no matter what, I couldn't get comfortable, and it's like too many people. It's like I couldn't sleep.
Yeah. My favorite was the Paw Sox sleepover.
Oh, so that's a good one.
Where you watch the game, and then you have the movie, and then you sit up in center field,
field.
Everybody's ready for bed. The movie's done, and now they're cleaning the stadium. And they do it. So they spend an hour cleaning the stadium with backpack, you know, leaf blowers. Leaf
blowers, correct.
And they blow everything onto the field. Yeah. So now it's 12 o'clock, they start, and it's 1 o'clock when you're done. And you just want to be, you know,
be done.
You want to be asleep. And then you wake up in the morning, and there's a one-stall bathroom for every single scout that's there out in center field.
That was a fun trip. I remember, too, it's amazing how you think that nice. You think the grass and the baseball field is so soft and it's going to be nice. It's actually, I remember it was being very hard. It was almost like concrete. I'm sure it's done that way for drainage purposes, but it was like, I didn't sleep, but that was a fun trip.
Yeah, I remember one in Rhode Island as well. We went to the Roger Williams Zoo, and we stayed overnight there. And that was a good trip, too. I think that, yes, those are some of the memories of sort of growing up with the Boy Scout, just experiencing these places. We've been there as a family, as normal attendees, but taking the other view of maybe doing it in the evening or such, or having that out of the ordinary experience, that made it special. Yeah, that added on a different flair to the same place. So, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite camping trips are always the ones that something spontaneous always comes up, you know, between the scouts. Whether it be, we had a huge snowball fight on one of the lakes in Connecticut at Pomperog, I think is the name of the camp there in Union, Connecticut. And I think it was almost 2 hours we had this. You know, Tom was there. He made a big, huge snow fort, and it was all about just knocking it over and with snowballs from another group. And it was a good time. It was, and of course, someone broke their wrist in that event. You know, so it was always good stuff happens.
Always drama.
You know, just kids playing around. I mean, it happens, but you know, items like that, or I've said it, campfires, just sitting there in my Adirondack chair around a campfire, as you can imagine what it took to get that in, but you know, and just listening to the scouts, some of the political conversations that are so insightful and from many different viewpoints, but not at all judgmental. You know, you think they could take over the world in a good way.
It's the positive energy in the boys, right? So yes, they want to rule, and they know everything. So yes, why not let that conversation out, or let them have it in a way? And yes, you're right. That's some of the fun part of being the listener at that within those camping trips, to realize all of what they are going through or picking up on. Yeah, often enough, you don't get that just when you're at home or just with them alone. So yes, one good reason to join in on a camping trip in that respect.
Well, I think it's the big thing with camping. There's a bunch of things you do. You're getting camaraderie, so you're going to go out. You're escaping from your family unit, your normal home, your normal location, to go somewhere else with a bunch of people, you know, boys or, you know, maybe boys, and then typically you're going to create, you know, relationships or friendships through that, bonds, and actually that's that bond, you know, can go through life. I know I started camping when I was fairly young. I remember when I was like Wicaditi, I went to Weeblos and then I went to Boy Scouts. I remember even 10 years old, my first camper trip was actually, it was summer camp. It was a week at summer camp. And that was, for me, that was quite an experience because not as heavy duty as a real camping trip because you're in a platform tent, you have a bunk and you can get to the dining hall to eat. But other than that, I remember being eaten alive by mosquitoes and it was miserable, but I went back for more. So I think it's the misery. You're there in misery, but misery loves company. So you're there with like other, your campmates and like, okay, it's going to be painful. We're going to figure out how we're going to make pancakes. It's freezing. How am I going to make pancakes on this open fire with like, and it's, everything's burnt, but it's the experience of doing it. And you're going to end up eating Pop-Tarts afterwards anyway, because it's not going to work. But it's the act of doing it together is what makes it special, I think. You remember the snowball fight. You remember the things that, the odd things that happen during these camper trips that make it fun and remember. You'll remember it forever.
Absolutely, and the lessons that the kids learn from watching others, I wish some of them would learn it the first time, or maybe sometimes the second, but generally after the third, they do. The scout who decided they was going to drink a jar of cherry juice after they used cherries for some dessert that they made, and he learned his lesson after being suggested to maybe not drink a whole jar of cherry juice. where the scouts who decide they're going to drink the entire 5-gallon bucket of bug juice.
That whole thing will be legendary too. Everybody's going to talk about that. That's going to be like the highlight of the trip.
Absolutely.
That's the highlight of the trip,
Forever.
I feel sometimes a lot of the highlights of the trip are really just the actual food or what the boys get to experience with, treats in a sense. I remember the one on the Block Island, what was really a hit was stopping over after the bike trail at an ice cream shop and enjoying the ice creams. And it was, again, you would not think of it. It was a very commonplace ice cream shop, but really the fact that they'd been biking the whole day and really had not had too much, and that was a big break towards the end of the day. The joy on the kid's face was something to be seen in a way that, it's a treat. And the fact that, yes, it was something by the troop they could have what they liked, that was another part of it. So,
Yeah, there's the camp out that usually is the last one of the year where the scouts will hike 2 miles each way to get themselves a fried dough. That's about the size of a small pizza.
Salisbury Beach. Yeah, Salisbury Beach. Because they have beautiful campsites. You can see it's right on the ocean. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and we're always in that same corner spot that you can see everybody going the boat ramp and, up and down and around. It's not too far from the bathhouses, but into the beach.
And I guess we are getting into the better part of the year, so I'm hopeful that more of these trips can be done for this year, right? So April and May and June, really the weather opens up and it picks up. But I think, yes, kudos to all the leaders out there. I think you guys have done a great job even within this past year to be able to
definitely
keep it up and keep the boys engaged. That's what I keep hearing from Adi, that there's still interest and there's still sort of energy within the boys, even though there's been less activities or less trips to do.
With so many things being like being not available because of the pandemic, this is scouts, it seems like it kept going. Either they try to do with the virtual, then they've done outdoor meetings, so try to keep the social distance and keep everybody safe, but still have the Steve get together and have that camaraderie. And they've gone a number of trips too. It's been great.
And yes, they've been to a trip. So I think it's a good, it's definitely a good thing. At least that's the one part they can at least carry on the social part and meet up and connect up. So it's good.
Yeah, we need to be able to carpool. That's the only thing that's keeping everybody back from having a little bit more interesting trips, you know, because those interesting trips are places that, you know, are a little further away, and it's hard to ask a parent, you know, for 15 different scouts to everybody to drive to western part of the state, you know, up to another state where then you maybe have to quarantine because you did it, you know, just to come back again a day and a half later to pick up your scout. So it's, but hopefully, yeah.
I mean, hopefully, I'm not sure if they, I believe they're still going to have summer camp this summer too, which is good.
Yep, they're going to Squanto.
And I'm not sure they can do one per scout per tent or something. Are they going to?
That's the plan right now.
Yeah, okay. That's good. At least they're going to go summer camp. I don't believe it's Resolute. I only believe Resolute's open, right? Just Squanto?
Resolute's open, but for day camping only.
Okay.
Squanto's open for tent camping.
I mean, I'm hoping that everything, once things settle down and get back to normal, that scouts will kind of get back. I feel like, you know, our troop has been very active and seems like doing well. I think this must hurt a lot of troops. So if they don't have the, without the camping and all those trips, I think it's a lot of people shied away from that. It's probably hard to keep the interest and keep people active. You know? So I'm hoping scouting in general can recover from all this.
Yeah, we were lucky in the way that our format was traditionally scheduled. You know, blended into where we could do Zoom in some cases. We could do a split schedule. We could camp locally because there's a lot of good places we can camp, and there's always big Indian if we, you know, nearby that we always have access to. So if we were a real heavily active high adventure, you know, or hiking all over, then that might have been more difficult.
I think that fact that we have all these local within hour and a half drive is even less. Right? Most of the trips have been less than an hour drive, I believe.
Yeah.
Big Indian and the canoe trip and
they've all been in Knobscot.
In Knobscot.
Yeah. Within a half an hour.
Within a half hour. Yeah, you're right. In a half hour. So I'm like, to make it manageable. And they're still, even really half hour away, still being out there in the woods as a group, it still kind of has the same effect. I mean, you're not going to go see any fancy monuments or anything or fancy sites, but you still climb up the top of Knobscot, look up the hill, right? Look at the radio towers on top of the hill, I guess.
Yep. I mean, it's still fun. They still want to do it.
And go to Big Indian and do whatever you're going to do there. They do.
Yeah.
Cook a turkey, right? Cook a turkey or whatever they got.
Cooked turkeys. Yep, we did. You know, and they got their St. Patrick's Day corned beef and cabbage. Yes. Knob's got this year.
I thought it was very nice they did all the, they also for Dave, they did the special ceremony. Okay. That was very nice of them, Mr. Hayworth. So,
well, he was very impactful on the lives of many of the scouts.
Yeah, he's very, like you said, he's very, he was like a fixture. He wouldn't, he'd go to, he was always there.
It was good to see some of the older scouts come over and be there at the ceremony as well. So
if you get a chance, when you get things get going, take a look in the scout hall, the sign that they had made for him, naming the hall is fantastic. We have some collages up inside there, and a letterbox or a shadow box frame with his uniform. But they did have to take a whole bunch of stuff off the uniform because it was too heavy to frame and keep on the wall.
You know those like the eagle pins from all the different eagles that what's the pin they give out? The pin they give a. He had a he had so many of those pins.
The mentor pins.
Mentor pins. So he had so many mentor pins on I know my oldest, Andrew's older brother, gave him a Mentor pin at his Eagle ceremony a few years ago. That was like 6-7 years ago, I think. But yeah, so he's been there through all my kids being at Scouts.
Yeah. I mean, look at the stuff, the bridge that they bridge over and he built and painted a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know, and that will live on.
Like I said, it's one person you can always count on, like I said, with because one of the things with Scouts is adult leaders, they go on camera trips, it's sometimes hard for a lot of people who are busy or doing other things that they don't have the time to go to these trips. So it was great that he took all the time to do that.
Yeah, he loved it. And even last summer at summer camp, he showed up every day, and he taught merit badges a couple times a day. And, you know, it was hard for him, but he did it and enjoyed it. And he got them all in for polar bear swim and the coffee, you know, coffee club in the morning and whatever weather.
And all the goofy stuff.
All the goofy stuff.
That's what I remember about camp too, is all the goofy, like there's always the goofy things you remember too about the, especially at summer camp, because it's more like all those goofy little things that the staff does and other troops do, because that's typically a camping trip, you're with your troop, your group of folks. But then when you go to summer camp, you get to intermingle with other groups of other troops from other towns or other cities. Like, you know, who are those people? Who do they think they are? Like, you know, and there's always like kind of like a little bit of, but it's also kind of cool, different, just meet different people. And the staff is usually a bunch of characters. So there's always like, that adds to the summer camp's a whole nother level of like camping, because you get much more stimulation, because different, all these different people, all these crazy things. Plus there's more activities too.
Yeah. So I have a funny summer camp story that I'll share. A couple of years ago, I was there, and we have had the same campsite for a while because it's got power. So, I chose one particular tent because it was close to power. I wear a breathing machine because I have apnea. So, but I also happen to have shared the tent with the mini fridge that comes along. For some
Nice. I like that.
So maybe airing a little dirty laundry. So in it was a whole bunch of sodas, and Dave was responsible for setting up the fridge, and he turned it on high to get it cold really fast. Well, not really thinking about this. So that's in my tent. It was, you know, right at the end of my cot, because it was, could be shaded easily. It wasn't going to heat up from the sun. So it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I hear a weird noise at the foot of my bed, and I don't know what's going on. And so now I'm thinking, is there a critter outside? Am I going to now get scratched up and bitten by a, you know, rabid raccoon? And so I get up and I'm looking around, and I don't know, I grabbed something as a weapon. I don't know what it was. You know, it certainly wasn't. So here I am acting like a dope. You know, what's going on? It's nothing. So I can't sleep. And then I hear this weird sound again as I'm slowly getting off to sleep. And I have no idea what it was. So finally get off. I have no idea. I couldn't figure it out. So I'm talking to, I don't know who, the next day, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And I realized that the sodas has exploded from getting too cold.
And they froze.
And they froze. And they exploded. And they did it so hard that it opened and closed the door of the mini fridge. And that's what was waking me up, that I thought that there was a critter.
Oh my God, that's funny. I guess you really cranked it up.
And here I am. So now I can't sleep. I got some anxiety. You know, it's a critter. What's going on? You got to get into the other scouts' tents.
That's funny.
You know, who left what? Oh, man.
The sodas.
And it was all, you know, and of course, all the sodas now were gone. You know, some of them had, you know, obviously been expanded. So that was pretty fun. They had to clean that up.
This is high class camping. We have with fridges, mini frizzes. Yeah,
well, somebody likes to take his Coca-Cola camping wherever they go.
Yes, that's funny. I always like summer camp too. I'm just gonna say because I was, so I grew up, like I said, 10 years old was the first time I went camping. Then I would go to summer camp as a scout when I was younger, and one of my favorite parts was always the, and I got to see it with the kids, especially on Friday, is those campfires. I always loved the campfires between the songs and the skits and everything they do. I remember when we'd always have an opening campfire and a closing one. I know it's cool we got to see the kids. We picked them up on Friday nights. There was always a campfire. So I love the campfires. And it brings back memories. So a little bit different, but still, it's the idea. A lot of the same songs, but it's fun.
Yeah, I've asked them in the last PLC that they start bringing back skits by the different patrols on it at the different camping events, because they are fun, and when they do it,
the skits from the summer camps, especially on the last day when they're ending it, all of the the organizers and even the scouts participate in it, and it's really quite a rehearsed or well choreographed show that they put up with all of the marching bands and then the multiple rowing, especially at Camp Resolute, how they go over the water and bring in sort of the spirit of the camp plan and such. So, yeah.
Talk a coup.
Thanks for reminding me about it. But yeah.
If you get a chance, there's the picture out there of Dave Perry as Takaku.
Oh, really?
When he was a counselor at Resolute as a scout.
I look for that, yeah.
That's funny. Takaku.
It's good stuff. But yeah, they're funny. We had a good campsite, good campfire at Salisbury Beach a bunch of years back that the skits were hysterical. And they had people just lined up at the edge of the road where we were camped, just watching. They were that funny.
That's good.
And entertaining.
Again, that's another thing. It's like, even skidding, how much that's good for the kids to learn that, because your showmanship, you have to work as a group for a skit. You have to work as a group. Then you have to get in front of people, an audience. It's actually it's a good experience, actually, in general. Plus, it's fun.
And in a way, again, it's a safe experience, right? So even if they make it wrong or they don't get it right first few times, it's all good fun in a way. It's all good practice for them. So yes, they can continue to improvise and get better over time. So
if they get it wrong, it's better.
Even better, yeah.
It's funnier if they get it wrong.
Yeah, that's the best.
So I'm just worried how much are we going to get their we're going to get royalties for this show. That's all I'm worried about right now. I'm like, from Andrew, I have to get Andrew. He's going to give me his royalties, I think, for the show. I thought we were just going to sit here and like, sorry. And now I'm like, I'm breaking. I'm not trying to. DT's going to get mad at me. But I'm saying, I thought we were just going to sit next to like the kids, and I didn't realize we're going to have to take over. So
yeah, I thought we were going to be interviewed.
You can cut that out in editing if you want.
But I did just get nudged because the question was asked if we would talk about what it was like raising a scout.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that too, yeah.
So, I mean, this is my first scout that I've raised. Ken, you had a couple.
Three, yep.
Yeah, and...
this is my first one too, yeah.
Okay.
And somewhat of a different one because I also have a daughter. I think, Ken, you have only sons or?
I have two daughters too.
You have two daughters as well. Daughter, so, yeah. I think for us, it's been somewhat of a challenge, especially once the daughter became big or elder, trying to find corresponding similar activities for her as well or so. She kind of always complains about the fact that, her brother seems to have more fun or has more things to be able to get to. But yes, it's been fun and busy, I guess, in terms of raising a Boy Scout. There's always more things to do. Somewhat less concerning in the sense that, yes, there is already a set of things that he wants to be able to do. So One less thing for a parent to think about. Oh, what are they doing or what else? This is a safe area that they can just go in and do. Realize now, yes, any activity on the scouting side, I don't have to worry about, oh, where is he going or what's going on. I can rely on the leaders and the parents and the kids themselves. So I think over the years, that's been a comfort of sorts. And I think for almost any of the other activities that my son has been in, I think this is the only one thing that goes all year round, almost all year round. So there's a lot of great continuity across, especially if you stay in the same town. We've stayed, and as I said, I've known Ken right from my Cub Scouts. So in that sense, it's been great. Sort of getting together with the families and getting to know all of them. Now we almost know them on first name basis and more. I know Andrew was over at our house when Aditya was getting through his merit badges on the Indian Karma once and such. So yes, it's been a great experience in that sense. I think I've learned more things too. This was, I would say, being Indian, Cub Scouting was something that I had read in a lot of my books and when I was growing up. It was never something that I had done as a boy. So when we were here in Ashland, I got to know about this. It was something I definitely wanted him to try out. And I guess I lucked out that he enjoyed it and he wanted to stay on it.
Yes, it's interesting because actually even Aditya, so I know, I've known him his whole scouting life because I remember he was... Yeah. I was the Cub Master of Pack One and DTO when the DTO started Scout. So I was like, I guess I was, so I've known him as long as his whole scouting career too. So I guess I, it's cool that he see him would go all the way through. I think he's like so many kids will drop out of Cub Scouts. Then some will go through all the way through Cub Scouts, but then not go to Boy Scouts. Then some will go to Boy Scouts for a short time, then quit. So it's like, it's always awesome to see kids that just go all the way through, like Aditya, and like, you know, Andrew, a lot of Andrew too, all my two other sons, they did that. It's just, it's a great thing. And I think, like you said, it's always, I always put it, it's always there. Like scouting is always there. Like, okay, baseball is like for 2 months, it's busy, then it's gone. Basketball, it's 3 months and it's gone. This part of your life, it's gone, but scouting is always there. Boy Scouts is always there. Even when they, my oldest son, who was, I guess, graduated high school like, you know, six years ago, almost 7 years ago, he went into the service and he was active in scouts in.
Oh, very good.
He was active scouts in Japan. He was active in scouts in Germany. He's back in Japan. I don't know if he's still active. COVID kind of like put a damper on things for scouting, but he was, you know, he did a lot of stuff with in Japan and in Germany, and he went, you know, camping in different places because he's in a different country. So it was kind of cool. So yeah, he stayed active. That's always nice to see that they when it's over for them, they're still not over. They're still active. Even for me, I guess I was a Cub Scout, a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout. You know, then you do other things, you stop doing it. Then I started helping. I was assistant scoutmaster in a troop in Cambridge before I got married. Then I came out here, I stopped doing it. Then there was a need for a Cub Scout leader. So I took that. And for 7 years, I was the Cub Master for Pack One Ashland. That's where I met Aditya and you, Amit, so, and many other people. So it was an experience. So yeah, I agree with you, though. It's like, it's kind of like, it's always there. Then even the summer, you have summer camp. There's always something going on, you know.
And I think that's the comfort part too, that there is something familiar to go back to. Yeah, with the kids as well, with different activities, you kind of keep changing the groups or you keep changing the people. Within a town, if you're a part of a troop, if you're part of a scout pack, there is that familiarity of the same kids coming back year over year. great to be able to see that growth within the families and growth within the kids themselves as they mature over. You don't really get to see that with other extracurricular activities so much. So, yeah.
Well, plus you see them turn from a tiger cub all the way to like a leader in a troop. Sorry, I'm like Aditya and all the other kids, like just, but he's because he, I saw him as a tiger cub, I saw him as, but he said he gets, it's good to see that growth. I agree with that, yes. That's a good, it's good. What was I going to say? The only thing, it's the other thing that's, it's just with Joshua and Andrew both made their eagle, but still, all the stress they caused me by taking, you know, not, it may aggravate me by not getting it done in time or, you know, trying to push them to get it done. But they were pretty, pretty self-motivated, but still, like, caused some aggravation for me. And then Thomas, because Thomas, I tried to push him a little bit. He didn't quite make it. So I was like, I gave up. Because it's something that I think my three sons, the number one thing was, like you said, is camping trips and the camaraderie. Not the ranks was as much for them. They liked the camp trips and the camaraderie, not the ranks. I think we're all up against the clock. We're going to have to break.
Do you have any thoughts or any comments on your end in terms of?
For my son, he's going to age out in about 6 weeks. We were laughing because from Tiger Scout Coats, and I was his leader or assisted, den leader for a while, or it finished wee blows when everybody in his den, disbanded. So it was just the two of us, that helped him finish and get his arrow of light and, in through scouting. And it's been great because it's one of those events that we could do things together, but still separate at the same time, right? So you could, see him off doing different things, join up for 10 minutes, but not be there for 8 hours together. And yet you're still going off and playing and you're doing something together to get to enjoy and talk about those things and grow together. I think that's been my best experience, growing up. I'm going to miss that certainly when he goes away to college in the fall, which I'm sure, but still get to see that in the other scouts to some, watch him coming in, for middle school, and you see him, how they all are and with their newfound independence. And as they grow and change, so hopefully we'll still get to experience some of that sort of similar, but different. So that's been my best experience, or greatest experience, right, with scouting, is doing that. Yeah.
It's good. Well, dads, this has been really good. We'll have to be right back for after a quick ad break.
And we're back. But this time, it's all six of us. I'm sure you guys had enough of our dads. but hey, dad, I think that went pretty well. What are we thinking? Andy and Andy, what are we thinking?
I think they yapped on a bit too long, but
from what I could hear, they were talking pretty highly of us. So
I didn't hear my dad bashing on me, and that's a first. So
nothing you said, embarrassing.
You right. said you had to talk for 45 minutes. So I'm like, okay, I got like a 10 more minutes left. I'm like trying to fill the air.
Hey, no, you guys did well. This was good. But now what? Andrew, you want to take it away with your segment?
Yeah.
What are the dads bringing to the campsite?
Exactly. That's the question of the day. So as of right now, we have a few items. We'll list them off for you. So right now we have bug spray. We have waterproof matches, a guitar, and tape. Tape and rope. Tarp and rope, sorry.
All right. So we have to add to that list?
Yeah, you have to add to that.
You add to that list, and as I learned on the first episode, nothing is given. Okay, there's no tents, there's nothing. It's just a barren campsite, and you can hear about my absolute horror when I learned about that. Because the first thing I thought of was like, all right, I'll bring a guitar and spruce up the campsite. But no, there's literally nothing here.
There's some story behind it. Yeah. Like Aditya brought his guitar. I brought the matches.
And AJ lit my guitar.
Use Aditya's guitar as firewood.
Yeah. No.
Our guest Pratham brought the bug repellent. Ricky brought the tarp and the rope.
Yep.
He was watching out for us with some shelter.
Was that right. Duct tape?
No, there's no tape.
Can I say a mini fridge?
Yeah. You can say
a mini fridge. Don't put it on too high, though.
Okay.
It won't work because it's not to plug it into. Still
bring it.
A mini fridge with a low setting. That's what I'll
ask. So we don't freeze any sodas.
All right, Mr. McIsaac, what about you?
Well, so since nobody mentioned duct tape, I would bring duct tape. I have a pattern that I could make a pair of snowshoes with duct tape and some twigs.
Okay.
And we're gonna, among with other 101 uses.
We're going to challenge you to that, all right?
That's whatever you want. All right.
We're going to have to see that happen. We're going to hold you accountable.
What about a sleeping bag? Do we need one?
I think yeah, not a bad idea. Sleeping bag. All right.
only one or a bunch for all
just
of us?
Or for just for you or for everyone?
Well, let's try one at least.
Oh, God. All right. Sleeping bags just for my dad. So I'm gonna just say just for.
We're all gonna pile in that one sleeping bag.
Okay, I'll take the tarp and the rope and just, yeah.
I'm bringing a very big roll of duct tape. I can make anything out of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking
we can make his own sleeping bag.
And the waterproof matches will just be to light myself on fire. Perfect. Okay, not the guitar, preferably.
I don't know. Depends on how you play the guitar.
Right. Right.
All right. Anything we you mentioned a bit of discussion of a few things, or are
we just gonna... Dad, Mr. McIsaac, I know you have these on demand. You got a dad joke for us?
I don't know. What do you get when you cross B&M baked beans and Betty Crocker cake mix?
What do you get?
You get a birthday cake that can blow out its own candles.
This is what I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis for the past 18 years.
Oh, my Lord.
Somebody's like, dad joke, and he'll have like three, and he just keeps going.
I had a feeling he'd have them on demand. I wasn't surprised.
And you asked it, and he's like, well, I don't know, but if you insist...
If you insist, right?
The question is how bad.
I think there's more too. He has more. He's just way held back.
Yeah. Do you have just a dam that's ready to burst with dad jokes?
No, but I do have a calendar. So I keep getting fresh every day, a new joke at least, and I do read Boys Life magazine. I go to the back.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah,
as soon as it comes in.
That's funny.
That's a good
That and my mom made the mistake of getting him one of those like ripoff calendars for Christmas
with
the new dad joke every day. I feel bad for his coworkers that have to hear him.
Yeah.
So I start my staff meetings off with it because I can.
I can. Because I can.
Because I can. That's life motto. Cool.
Yeah.
Work talk.
I think we're ready to wrap it up, right?
Yeah.
Those are 45 minutes.
Close enough.
It's close enough. With the ad. dads. Sons. Thank you guys for coming. This was great. This wasn't weird at all. No, I think this turned out pretty good.
We had decent expectations and a lot of faith in our dads.
Yeah,
and I say it turned out decent. I mean, I didn't hear everything, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm gonna love the text chain that I get while AJ's editing this slowly.
Oh yeah,
just listening to the episode and be like, what was going on at minute 43?
So, I had in mind is an episode of the Red Green Show. If you ever get a chance,
I think you're aging yourself.
And
there.
Go look at the Red Green Show and the Possum Lodge.
Never heard of it.
It was like on like I can't. I've seen that show, but I can't remember the last time I saw that show.
Yeah,
I mean, you watch like Star Trek or whatever, first series or whatever. I don't know.
Star Trek isn't that old.
Andrew's like, he's such a nerd.
Yeah,
what
a,
but if you ever wanted to do a demonstration podcast for you, it like that, you know, it would, that could be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, the last episode turned out pretty good. I'm curious to see how the mom's episode is going to turn out.
Oh, boy.
If you're going to have the mom's episode, please have it inside a latrine.
Okay. I don't know how that's relevant, but.
Background.
Right. Okay. All right. Well,
some housekeeping, though, before we kind of wrap it up. Mm-hmm. We got to say a thank you to our dads, but also a thank you to our newest monthly supporter, Ricky Fonseca, also known as Ricardo Fonseca, as he said in our past episode.
Also known as
Sticky Ricky.
Sticky Ricky.
There we go.
Go check the last episode if you want more context, because we're not going to give it to you right now.
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy, but... listen to Ricky's episode, and also thank you to Ricky for being a monthly supporter. And Aditya can tell you how you can be a monthly supporter.
I guess I could. I was just thinking about how I was going to go to bed. But to become a monthly supporter, go to anchor.fm/trailspodcast/support. Don't ask me why I have that link memorized. And just click on the, you know, amount that you want to donate to us. Helps us keep the podcast going. And it's pretty easy. You just put in your credit card info and your first name and last name. And we don't get the credit card info. We just get the first and last name. It'd be pretty cool if we got your credit card info. But we don't. I promise. You know, we're just a bunch of 16-year-olds. And actually, I think I'm the only 16-year-old. But anyways, we don't get your credit card information. That would be great. But, you know, the easiest thing to do is like, follow, subscribe, listen. You know, just have it playing in the background while you're driving or something. I'd say that I have a pretty listenable voice. No?
No.
No, it's not. All I know is I have a face for radio.
He's gonna...
Pleasurable. OLD. Attractive voice? I don't know. Anyways, thank you for the
comment. So it's getting late, and the dads have a 7 o'clock deadline, 7 p.m. Bedtime.
Yeah, we're already.
So, also got work tomorrow.
they're growing their beards. Right, they're getting old. Let's let them go.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Our fire is dying down. Thank you guys for your constant support on the past episodes. Season 2 has been a hit so far, and we're looking forward to more guests, more episodes, and more fun. We'll see you next time on Tales of the Trails. Peace out.